May 28th, St. Nikitas, Confessor and Bishop of Chalcedon. In his youth, he renounced the world and withdrew to a life of monastic asceticism. Shining with virtues as the sun, he was noticed by the elders of the church and was elevated to the episcopal throne of Chalcedon. As a bishop, he was especially merciful toward the less fortunate and greatly concerned himself about orphans, widows, and the poor. When the evil Leo the Armenian rose up against Icons, Nikitas courageously stood up in defense of Icons, denouncing the emperor and explaining the meaning of Icons. Consequently, he endured great humiliation, calumny, and imprisonment. Finally, he was banished into exile for his confession of faith, and in his labors and sufferings presented himself to the Lord to receive the wreath of glory in the kingdom of God. The holy female martyr Heliconis. Heliconis was born in Thessalonica and was educated in Christian piety. During the reign of Gordian and Philip, she moved to Corinth, where she openly denounced all those who offered sacrifices to the idols. When Perennis, the mayor, counseled her to offer a sacrifice to the idol Aesculapius, this martyr of Christ said to him, "Hear me, I am a handmaiden of Christ, and who Aesculapius is, I do not know. Do with me what you will." For this she was brought to trial and endured terrible tortures. She was cast in a fire, and much blood poured from her body, which extinguished the fire, and she remained alive. She was cast before lions, but the lions did not touch her, but fawned around her. Admitted into the temple, allegedly to offer sacrifices to the idols, she destroyed the idols, and by this embittered the torturer even more. Lying wounded in prison, the Lord himself appeared to her with the archangels Michael and Gabriel. He healed her wounds, comforted and strengthened her. After that, she was led to the scaffold to be beheaded. Before her beheading, Heliconis raised her arms high and prayed that God receive her and unite her with his lambs in the heavenly enclosure. When she completed her prayer, a voice was heard from heaven, "Come, daughter, a wreath and a throne is prepared for you." Finally, she was beheaded and received the wreath of glory from God, to whom, out of love, she sacrificed herself as an innocent and pure lamb. St. Ignatius of Rostov. As a hierarch, he governed the flock of Christ for 26 years with great love and compassion. When he died, and as his body was being placed in church, some of those who were present witnessed as his body rose from the coffin into the air above the church, and from the heights he blessed the people and the town. Afterward, his body returned to his coffin. Many other miracles appeared over his grave. He presented himself to the Lord on May 28, 1288 A.D. Hymn of Praise. St. Heliconis.
Heliconis, courageous martyr, pure of soul, most beautiful countenance, in Corinth, the city of idols, proclaim the word about the only God. Corinthians, by darkness deceived, in demonical bonds tied, you worship all and all things, but not the one God most high. God is one, the idols are many. God is one, the devils are many. One God is the Creator, the Omnipotent, of all creation, the Good Provider. He created all, he sustains all. To everything living, he gave the breath of life. He moves everything with power and wisdom, caresses all with divine mercy. He is the Lord of earth and heaven. Him only we should worship. Corinthians, wealthy and glorious, why in the faith are you such a nothing?
Reflection. Only a proud man is always prepared to equate Christ with other great men. Even though it is obvious at first glance that great men are one thing and the Lord Christ is another. Just as creation is one thing and the Creator is another, Christ is not only great, but He is the Creator and Source and Inspirer of every true greatness in the history of mankind. Napoleon, one of the transient great men in exile and misery on the island of St. Helena, uttered these words. Alexander, Caesar, Hannibal, Louis XIV, with all their genius, are nothing. They have conquered the world and were unable to gain one friend. And behold, Christ calls, and instantly entire generations are united in a bond closer and stronger than the bond of blood. Christ ignites the fire of love, which consumes all egoism and surpasses whatever kind of love you desire. Contemplation. To contemplate the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, in the mystery, sacrament of holy matrimony, how that grace during marriage lawfully sanctifies the physical bond of two human beings for the sake of the procreation of children, how it unites, illumines, and strengthens through love the union of two souls, husband and wife. Homily about the power of the mystery, sacrament of matrimony. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cling to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It is God's will that the human race multiply. It is God's artful manner how the human race is being multiplied. It is God's mystery how man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife. To leave your parents does not mean to abandon your parents, but rather to become parents yourself. When children become parents, they are no longer only children, but are companions of their parents. When wedded sons learn of the mystery and pain of childbirth, they then respect their parents even more. The marital union can never free a man from having respect and obedience toward his parents. The original commandment of God to honor your parents must be fulfilled, but, according to the natural cycle of things, a man leaves his parents and becomes a parent himself. He becomes a founder of a new future while his parents depart, having completed their role in the world. However, everything is not in leaving the parents. By a certain incomprehensible mystery, man clings to his wife and detaches himself from his parents. Saint Theodoretus writes, Christ himself left his Father on high and united himself to the Church. My brethren, matrimony is a great and miraculous mystery, one of the greatest mysteries of God's plan. A pure and honorable marriage is overly replete with sublimeness. A pure and honorable marriage in the fear of God is a vessel of the grace of the Holy Spirit. Whoever disdains marriage disdains the Spirit of God. Whoever defiles marriage with impurity blasphemes against the Spirit of God. Whoever abstains from marriage for the sake of the kingdom of God must, in a different manner, prepare himself as a vessel of the Holy Spirit, and in the spiritual realm make himself fruitful in order not to be cut down as the barren fig tree. O God, Holy Spirit Almighty, assist those who are in the state of matrimony, that in purity, fear, and mutual love be as the Church of God, in which you joyfully abide and govern all things for good. To you be glory and thanks always. Amen.